You're listening to the Whole Hog Sports Podcast. And now, here's your host, Matt Jones.
Happy Monday, everyone. This is Ethan Westerman filling in today for Matt Jones, joined by Anthony Christensen here in the studio, who was at the Arkansas basketball team's 90-76 loss at Georgia over the weekend. So we're going to recap that game today on the show. Anthony, first of all, it felt like I watched three different games within that one game, at least on TV. You know, Georgia goes on its, you know, opening game just bludgeoning where they take the big lead. Arkansas claws all the way back to tie the game, and then it's right back to Georgia just doing what it did in the first place. You wrote a little bit about it over the weekend, just how Arkansas is maybe searching for that consistency to where they're not either having this big run where they're, you know, the dominant team, or just getting, you know, for lack of better words, you know, dominated like they did at the start of the game. I guess maybe going a little bit more in depth with just what you saw Saturday in those little spurts that either they were really successful in or they weren't.
Yeah, I think the first thing that you notice is just kind of the shot selection. I think Arkansas's shot selection for the most part against Georgia wasn't good. they were getting touches in the paint and they were going to the rim, but a lot of those, like, you know, they didn't create enough space to get around Samto Cyril or get it over Samto Cyril. He finished with 7 blocks. So, yeah, there's some of that. I think Malik Ewan had a contested mid-range, like, 17-footer with, like 24 seconds left in the shot clock. And I was like, I can't imagine that's the shot you want in that situation, if I remember correctly. And then there were some times when, you know, they took some three-pointers that, you know, I felt like maybe it would have been better to have driven to the basket at that time. But yeah, I think that in the first bit of the game and then the last bit of the game, I felt like that was a problem. And then also, like, the turnovers. You know, I believe it was 18 turnovers. Georgia scored 29 points off those turnovers. So it was kind of, I guess, sloppy a little bit on that end. You know, and some of the turnovers, you know, weren't really forced either. So that was kind of that. And then, you know, obviously they had the 22-5 stretch to get back into it, to tie it and all that. So I guess not all bad if you're looking at it from an Arkansas perspective, but I would certainly say more bad than good. I mean, I guess that's going to be the case when you lose by 14 points, but I mean, that was the most convinced I've been by Georgia so far this season. You know, they didn't play, you know, the best non-conference schedule by any means. And, you know, I'd kind of struggled a little bit in SEC play, but then, you know, I was really impressed with the way Georgia played, the way Georgia kind of, you know, utilized each possession and got the most out of a lot of its possessions. And yeah.
I want to focus in real quick on the end of the game. You know, it felt like Arkansas exerted so much energy just to tie the game. They had it 68-68, then they had it 70-70. They never led in this game.
Nope.
They were tied for 1:07, but they never led. It felt to me like, at least watching it, you know, through the TV, that Arkansas maybe, like, that energy it took them to come back and just tie it, like, it took so much that they just didn't have the final kick that they needed. It was like they almost ran out of gas in an instance. But also a lot of that probably had to do with Georgia.
Yeah, I can see that. I also feel like it kind of came back to some of the shot selection. You know, when Arkansas had got it to 68-68 and 70-70, and then Georgia obviously retook the lead after both of those instances, I felt like they were trying to go for that, you know, at times the three-pointer to put them in the lead. You know, there were a couple of those that they missed, and then Georgia went down and reclaimed the lead or extended the lead. You know, I remember there were a couple corner threes where I was like, you should have driven there or something along those lines. But yeah, obviously that's going to take up a lot of energy to come back and get back into a game like that. You know, so yeah.
Yeah, I think that you look at this game and a lot of things maybe went how you would have thought, at least on paper. Like, Arkansas and Georgia were the 1 and 2 teams in fast break points mm-hmm. in the nation. Like, they both went above their normal benchmark. Arkansas had 25, Georgia had 23. Both teams dunk a lot. I think they were mm-hmm. the nation's two top, like, percentage of field goals or dunks teams. They dunked a lot in that game. What really comes down to me when I look at the final stat sheet, there's two areas that kind of glare to me that maybe made the difference. First of all, the turnovers. We talked about that. I mean, it was 18-17. Arkansas had more turnovers than Georgia, but the points off turnovers, I mean, that's a close margin, 18-17. 29-15 Georgia. So Arkansas didn't capitalize. And then the other thing, Arkansas has been a good three-point shooting team. They went 5 of 21, 23.8%. It felt to me like those two things were really the separator when it came down to it.
Yeah, no, for sure. And I felt like some of that, again, kind of went down to the shot selection. I felt that there were some times in which they could have, driven and gotten a better look. You know, John Calipari had mentioned it as well. I guess, whenever you go up for a layup, maybe look for, that extra pass to where, you have somebody who's free in the paint and you're not going up against Samto Cyril, who had just, an outrageously good defensive game. Mm-hmm. So there's... there's a lot of stuff like that. I mean, Arkansas, I think, ended up finishing, it was 13 of 28 on layups, and, some of that was the 7 blocks that he had. I think Georgia had 11 total, but then, there's things that don't show up on the stat sheet as well. I mean, he still, disrupted a lot of shots as well that he didn't block. So, yeah, I feel like, there was some of that, and obviously the three-point shooting, wasn't great by any means, and some of that again kind of felt like it came down to the shot selection. And there were some, just sometimes Georgia really played good defense, and kind of forced Arkansas on some of those bad shots. And like I said earlier, this is the most convinced I've been by Georgia this season, and I left Stegman Coliseum pretty impressed with the way Georgia played and handled its business. I mean, Georgia 1.084 points per possession. They were efficient, and whenever you're gonna have a number like that, and you have as many possessions as Georgia had, 83 possessions, it was a high tempo game. Both teams like to play at a high tempo, like you mentioned earlier. So, to have that efficiency when you're playing at that pace, you're gonna give yourself a good chance to win. And I was impressed by Georgia.
Obviously, at the end of the game, the person who really stood out was Wilkinson when he made his back-to-back threes that just kind of felt like real daggers to take the life out of Arkansas a little bit. But before that, it felt to me like maybe the game's most impactful player was Blue Kane, because Arkansas was making its run, he kind of had the counter.
Yeah, he scored six straight points, all on, I think, jumpers or layups as Arkansas was tied or just behind. So that was a huge moment. Those were huge moments in the game.
And one of them, that baseline jumper was tough.
Yes. Yeah. So, I mean, that was huge. And Blue Kane has been a guy who, he's been effective in the SEC. I believe he's a junior now. Let me double check that. I can't talk today.
Double deck that.
Yeah. But, he's been in the SEC, and yes, he is a junior. He's been in the SEC for 3 years now. And, he's been an impactful player since he committed to Georgia. And, that's just kind of what he does. He can, he's a steady hand who can do that. But Jeremiah Wilkinson, I mean, he's kind of, one of the more underappreciated players in the SEC, I think. He leads Georgia in scoring. He's a three-level kind of scorer who, can get to the paint, can shoot, free throws at a 76% clip. So obviously maybe you want that to be a little bit higher, but, he's effective from three. He's a good driver. He's a good passer. And, when you hear people talk about some of the better players in the SEC, you don't really hear Jeremiah Wilkinson's name come up a lot. But, he was big. Georgia, on the opening possession of the game, ran a really nice set to create a mismatch for Jeremiah Wilkinson, who's listed at 6'1". He's probably just a little bit taller than me. But, got him isolated against Nick Pringle for a drive. And, 6'1's typically going to beat 6'10 on the move like that. So it was a really nice set. And, Georgia did a lot of really nice offensive things. And I don't even remember what you said. But, Jeremiah Wilkinson played really well.
I feel like in this game, I think Georgia shot above what its season three-point percentage was, which obviously helps. And Arkansas shot below. But Blue Kane in specific, I think going into this game, he was 0-for-15 in SEC play from three. Mm-hmm. He knocked down two big ones. But they just had a lot of guys who knocked down big threes. But at this point, whenever you're Arkansas going on the road in the SEC, teams tend to do things in their home arena better than maybe they have season as a whole. I guess now that it's been back-to-back weekends, I think that, obviously Saturday's game was, it looked like it was about to be just as alarming as Auburn's, but then they showed some more fight. But still, you have an alarming result at Auburn where you just, frankly, it, like, no-showed, it seemed like, Arkansas. And then at Georgia, you no-showed for too long in the game to where you really dug yourself a hole. I guess what's the concern level with Arkansas with these two road games? I know that they've got still a lot more SEC road games in front of them, but now in this small sample size, it seems like it's a different team outside of Bud Walton Arena.
Yeah, no, it's interesting, I guess. The concern level is, it's moderate to high, I'd say, probably, right? Like, I mean, it's a team, like, Arkansas is a team that, you've seen how well Arkansas can play. You know Arkansas can compete against some of the best teams in the country, because we've seen that, right? I mean, they played Duke tough. They fought back to make it respectable against Houston, though that 9-point final score maybe was not as indicative of how that game went as maybe the proceedings would have shown. They battled with Michigan State, but then you look at how poorly they played at Auburn and how poorly they played for probably three quarters of the game against Georgia. And yeah, I mean, it obviously it's always going to be tougher to go on the road, but you've got your next road game is Oklahoma. So, and Oklahoma is not played as well as maybe hoped if you're an Oklahoma fan, but they took Alabama to the buzzer the other night, and if
they were up 11 in that one. Yeah.
Challenge, so probably should have won that game. I know Alabama didn't really play all that well, but that's it's going to be a tough game. So you'll go over to Norman, and if they lay another egg, then obviously then the concern level becomes quite high. But yeah, I think you're certainly alarmed by it at this point. So yeah, no, I certainly alarmed is I guess my read of the situation, but not necessarily slamming the panic button at this point.
Yeah. I want to tell you about our friends at Bentonville Glass. Serving its community since 1971, Bentonville Glass is committed, professional, and versatile. Looking for a quality leader in Northwest Arkansas? Looking for skilled craftsmanship? Choose Bentonville Glass for all your glass market needs with the highest quality products. You can come by and see them today at 507 South Main in Bentonville or online at bentonvilleglass.com. We talked about SEC road games. For as equally as Arkansas has played poorly maybe on the road recently, they've played really well at home. Mm-hmm. Got a big one tomorrow. I mean, the first time we really had this quick turnaround with a Tuesday game. And they're facing a Vanderbilt team that is kind of in the same boat as Arkansas, where it's like they got a little bit of a reality check recently as far as nobody's questioning they're still a good team, but just showing some, that they're not invincible. But for Arkansas, I assume, playing back at home, this is the situation you want if you're going to try and get a bounce back against a good team is in your home arena.
Yeah, no, for sure. And Vanderbilt, yeah, they're, like you mentioned, they've dropped two in a row to Texas and Florida. Texas on the road, so the road woes, I guess, kind of going around the league. But, Florida has really kind of turned it back on, and I tried to tell people don't sell all your Florida stock just yet because I felt like that backcourt was going to come together, and it looks like they've done some things to, maybe correct some of the things that were going poorly to start the season. Not that, Xavier Lee and Boogie Fland have been perfect in the past few games, but Florida's in first place in the SEC right now for a reason, and they've really turned some things around.
That front court, nobody's ever questioned the front
court. No, nor should they. But yeah, Vanderbilt comes in, 3-2 in the SEC, still a team with, if I'm not mistaken, I think they still have the most top 100 wins in the league. If I'm not mistaken, maybe that's changed. But it's a team that it needs a win, right? Both teams need a win, I think. So it'll be an interesting game. I mean, both teams. It's kind of similar to that Georgia game in which both teams like to push the pace. Both teams like to get out in transition. Both teams like to play fast. And yeah, it'll be interesting. Vanderbilt's defense rates better than Arkansas's, so it'll be interesting to see if Arkansas's offense can find a lot of the success that Florida's offense did against Vanderbilt. And yeah, no, it should be a fun game. Both teams like to play fast, like I said, and yeah, it's an important game for both teams, an important spot for both teams. So yeah, it'll be an interesting one.
Yeah, I think it's funny because last year, like if there's anything I feel like last season's Arkansas team taught us, it was that things can heal in February and beyond. Like things can, that you can mess up some before then, and you better kick it into gear right before the postseason. But so I know that, you know, what happens in January isn't, you know, life or death for any team's, you know, postseason hopes necessarily. It can be for sure, but you can recover. But you look at Arkansas's schedule and the rest of January, it just feels extremely important to me because of protecting home court. If you look at the rest of their January schedule, starts tomorrow, Vanderbilt.
Yeah, three or four home games. Yeah.
Saturday, LSU at home. At Oklahoma, a very winnable road game, I would think.
Mm-hmm.
And then you close it, of course, with the big one against Kentucky on a Saturday at home where you've had, you know, they've got back-to-back weeks with the nice, like, prep before your Saturday game because you play on a Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
I guess you look at this stretch of games for them, you know, four games, three of them, like we said, at home. What do you think is a good – what record would Arkansas need to have in that stretch, in your opinion, to keep their SEC title? Because I think this is a team that you can throw them in the mix if they want to compete for the SEC championship. I know they've had back-to-back bad road results. You can't have that if you're going to want to compete for it. At some point, you got to fix that. But this seems like a key stretch that you've got to take care of business more often than not, I would think, to really challenge for that.
Yeah, no, for sure. I think if you want to compete for the SEC regular season title, I think you can't really... Yeah, 3-1, I think, is the minimum in this stretch that you can kind of go with, you know, just kind of making sure that you stay within. And obviously, some of it's dependent on what other teams do in other games. So, but, you know, Florida's already got a full game lead on the rest of the league. So, you know, you don't want to, you know, see that become, you know, 2 or 3 if you're Arkansas. So I think I would say if Arkansas were to go 3-1 in this stretch, you know, that would probably be, you know, a fine situation because then you're
sitting 6-3, and that seems to me like a team that can still win it.
Yeah, no, for sure. So yeah. You don't want to get too far behind if you're looking to compete for that title. So yeah, and you know it's four games that you know are coming against, you know, all four teams are obviously very capable of winning games, you know, but. You know, Arkansas is also obviously very capable of winning those games, but you know they're tough games, right? I mean, Vanderbilt is obviously what Vanderbilt is, and you know it has, you know, one of the best offenses in the country and plays at pace, and you know LSU is kind of desperate. Matt McMahon's on the hot seat down there, and you know kind of looking to put some things together, and you know beat Missouri over the weekend, and that Missouri team just refuses to decide if it's good or bad, so it's it's kind of an interesting one, but you know that's an important result for LSU, and LSU kind of needs to build on that and keep it going. So I'm intrigued to see, you know, what LSU does. And then obviously, you know, Oklahoma has been tricky at home, so that's going to be a tricky one. And then you know, Kentucky, you know, has won two games in a row and, you know, got a nice win on the road at Tennessee over the weekend. And, you know, maybe that team has turned a corner. Who knows? We'll see.
I saw they're like the first team to come back on the road back-to-back games by down like 15 or something. And back like since 2017, this is all Division One or maybe Power Conference Division One, but they're showing a lot more resolve than I think we saw earlier. Some fight from Kentucky. So that's a game that, you know, we'll see what Kentucky does before that one, but it's a game that, or a team that's at least gaining a little bit, I think, of that mental toughness and fight in them right now that people were questioning. So, you know, interesting schedule ahead. And if you zoom out even further, because we keep talking about these SEC road games, the next three road games for Arkansas in the SEC are Oklahoma, Mississippi State, and LSU. Three, if you're going to win some road games, I would think that those are the ones you need to
take advantage of.
Because the
right?
ones to close the year are Alabama, Florida, Mizzou, which, you know, those are going to be really tricky. So important stretch of games for Arkansas as far as its hopes for, you know, competing for the SEC title. Want to talk about the AP poll real quick. A new one came out today. Arkansas checked in at number 20, went down three spots. You know, and it's funny. You look at now the pecking order in the SEC based on the AP poll. You have Vanderbilt at 15, Florida 16, Alabama 17, Arkansas 20, Georgia 21. These teams are really bunched together, which I think kind of you maybe backs the feeling as far as it seems like a wide open who's going to win the SEC because they're all just kind of viewed very similarly right now.
Yeah, no, for sure. And, you know, I did it a little bit differently. I had Florida above Vanderbilt.
They
and
feel
then,
to me like the team to beat at the very
yes,
moment. Yeah.
No, absolutely. Because, I mean, they've put it together, it seems. Like, I mean, you know, none of their five losses have come against, well, they lost to TCU. But none that are like disastrous losses, I guess I should say. You know, they lost to TCU, UConn, Arizona, at Missouri. Yeah. And so it's not like you look at those five losses and you're like, whoa, that's just, you can't recover from that one. Yeah. So, you know, they've, and none of them have been like particularly like, they've all been close. So, I mean, Florida just kind of like always seemed like a team that needed to just put it together. And, you know, it looks, at least in recent games, like it has. So, you know, that Florida team looks really good. And, you know, I'm not a betting man, and I don't advertise betting at all. But, you know, I would say that, yeah, Florida looks like the favorite to go and do it. But, I mean, it is kind of, you know, it's tight at the top. I mean, Alabama's right there as well, lost to Texas at home. So, I mean, Texas is kind of in
they've been the spoiler so far.
Yeah, Texas is kind of in the Missouri mold, I guess. Kind of can't decide what it wants to be. Good, bad, in between. Just like, what's going on?
But when
here?
They're playing good, like Mizzou, like it's like they can beat, they can really spoil the SEC. I think there's a few teams right now in the SEC race. Personally, I feel like Mizzou, Texas, Tennessee, and Auburn. I don't think any of those are going to win the SEC, but man, they sure can really affect the top, because there are teams that can beat you. Arkansas experienced against against Auburn. Missouri beat Florida. Texas beats Alabama and Vanderbilt. Yeah. I mean, it's like some real spoilers in there.
Yeah, Texas A&M too looks really
fun. I'm not willing to put them outside
Texas A&M. You know, first year of Bucky McMillan, and you know, late hire in the process, and you know, he's done, you know, an outstanding job there. You know, I know they're, you know, not ranked or anything, but you know, they've looked really good, really fun, especially once they've gotten into SEC play. I mean, this A&M team, I mean, they play buckyball, right? They like to play fast. They put up a lot of shots, and you know, their only loss in SEC game and the only loss since December 7th was, you know, double overtime at Tennessee, which obviously, you know, Thompson Bowling's a tough place to play. So yeah, no, A&M looks good, looks fun. And you know, shout out to Bucky McMillan, and you know, the job he's done there. He did a great job at Samford before he got that job, and you know, he looks like Texas A&M is, you know, maybe on the tournament bubble, maybe going to be in the inside. But yeah, no, he's done a really good job there, especially when you think about, you know, when he got hired in the process with when, you know, Buzz Williams left for Maryland. And yeah, no, they've been good. They've been really good.
Yeah, I guess finish off. You said you ranked Florida on your AP ballot first among the SEC teams. How'd you shake it out after that?
Yeah, so I did Florida at 14, Vanderbilt 16, Alabama 18, Georgia 19, and then Arkansas 21.
Yeah.
So that's where, yeah, it all shook out. And then,
a lot of that I'm sure is based off head to head. I mean, Georgia just beat Arkansas.
Yeah, head to head, and you know, Florida obviously beat Vanderbilt and Georgia, and you know, Alabama is kind of obviously lost to Vanderbilt head to head as well. You know, head to head is not, it's kind of like the last tiebreaker. If I have two teams that are right next to each other, that'll be, you know, where I kind of flip it. You know, so that's kind of that. You know, like Iowa State beat the crap out of Purdue, and you know, what, a month and a half ago or so, but obviously I've got Purdue higher than Iowa State right now, because Iowa State just lost two games in a row and lost to a pretty bad Cincinnati team. So yeah, so head to head's not the biggest deciding factor, but it's one of them. Yeah. But yeah,
I think the biggest lesson here is that SEC has a lot of teams that are very close to each other. And I think we're all just waiting to see, there's teams that you feel like can, and maybe Florida's already been the one to start, that can piece it together and really separate themselves. Arkansas feels like a team that they have the pieces to where they could do that, just haven't yet. They're not consistent enough. But Florida seems like the team that's starting to maybe do that a little bit more. It'll be interesting to see how this shakes out, because I think you have a bunch of teams that we know that the winner of this conference, and maybe it'll be such a tight race that it's really going to, you won't have that team that pulls away. But I think we have a few real contenders right now, and it'll be interesting to see. I know it's a cliche, the contenders and pretenders, but I think there will be some that shake out that are like, you know what, like this Tennessee team isn't what we expect out of a Tennessee team, or maybe Kentucky truly is a, you know, ignore these back-to-back wins. They're the Kentucky that lost to Gonzaga big. I just think that it's going to be an interesting race because there's going to be some teams that create some separation and some that continue to struggle. Arkansas, this game against Vanderbilt tomorrow is a real opportunity for Arkansas to maybe, you know, that's the type of game. I think Saturday's game was honestly the type of game that helps you establish yourself over another, but they lost that one. But big game tomorrow, which we'll get into that a lot more tomorrow, previewing Vanderbilt. But until then, hope everyone has a great day. You can check out our work at WholeHogSports.com in the meantime.
Go Hoosiers.